This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for my favorite craveable chicken fingers. Turbocharge your order and get it even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
We are live in Columbia on a gorgeous autumn afternoon, the first one of the year, and we can't wait to get going with the second hour of the program. The first hour, we were able to talk to Tim Tebow, and it was, 7 years ago, 3 weeks ago, that we began SEC Nation a couple of blocks away, and the first voice you heard on that program was the voice we're about to introduce. He is Joe Tessitore, who is down in Gainesville. Joe, that was one of the most memorable nights ever. I know you have not forgotten it.
No, and also the humidity, I believe, was at about 99% that night. I think most of us were sweating through our suits on that night. Texas A&M against South Carolina, and you and I were doing SEC Nation leading up into kickoff and tossing it over to big game Brent Musburger. And boy, how the years go by quickly. Hey, what's the vibe there in South Carolina, Paul? Is it a good energy for the weekend?
It's pretty amazing. And I'll tell you something, Joe, I've been here a million times, and I don't think it's ever been below 90. I feel like I'm at the Public Gardens in Boston right now on an early October day. I mean, it's barely 70 degrees here. You would be enjoying it. Let's talk about your assignment tomorrow night. And it's an interesting one, catching the Gators. After the game that the country is still talking about, taking on Tennessee, a team that nobody really knows what to make out of. I know you get deep into the weeds with the coaches and the tape. Give us a preamble to your broadcast.
You know, I think you just said it in the question, Paul, because in framing the question, you just said coming off a game that the country is still talking about. And that is what is central to what we're going to see on Saturday night. Have the Florida Gators been talking about it too much all week long? You can't have a conversation down here without looking into the rearview mirror instead of looking ahead to 7 o'clock on Saturday night against Tennessee, because it was such an event, because it proved so much about Florida, of taking mighty Alabama to the wire, coming up short on the two-point conversion. So we talked to Dan Mullen just about 2 hours ago about the week that was, and how quickly he had to extinguish that flame of dwelling on Alabama. But you can't help it. It's human nature. Now, what Dan says is that this week he found there to be a maturity from the guys, of saying there's a realization when you play a game like that of just what you are and where you need to go. It's one thing to be really, really good, but to beat Alabama and to contend for a championship, you need to be really, really great. And they realize that if they can just fix a few things, if they can just push across that line, this team has the chance to be really, really great.
Talking to Joe Tessitore, Joe, I want to go a little bit deeper on that. First of all, you know, we all were told last week, as we did our show from Gainesville, about what impact Anthony Richardson would have on the game. Obviously, he didn't have any, although he could have. What is his status, and what do you expect?
Hey, listen, we're going to see on Saturday night. It wouldn't surprise me if he's doing a backflip in pregame again, and yet we get a full dose of Emory Jones. He's dynamic. And you always want to be the backup quarterback who's having 75-yard runs, right? He's dynamic. But what we saw out of Emory Jones last week was not perfection, but it was his best performance. He was composed. He came up with big plays. He managed great long drives. He played through adversity. He didn't wilt, to use a term that Dan threw around this week, when they trailed early on. And I think there's a lot that can be built on there. So my guess is that we get something similar to what we had last week. We didn't get an exact answer today. If they can manage things against Tennessee, and you can let that hamstring rest, because one of the concerns with Richardson with the injury is that the guy is so explosive, Paul. He's so dynamic with the first step that if you pop that thing, if you tear that hamstring, now instead of going along with an injury that's a week-to-week injury and let's see if we can work him in, Now you've got an injury that shuts him down long term, and that's the last thing you want when you have such a dynamic athlete that you can get into the game the way they've been working him in.
Joe, what are we supposed to expect? What are we going to see tomorrow from this Tennessee team?
Well, it's got to be a team that takes some chances, right? Because when you start looking at their roster and you know the realities of the circumstances with Tennessee, with the amount of players that left the program, what they're left with scholarship players, certain positions they're thinned out, and then certain positions where you can honestly look at it and say there are some strengths. And one of those positions is at wide receiver. And Florida's dealing with a few injuries defensively, but they're going to have to take some shots. They do have the speed out on the perimeter, their talent out on the perimeter to take some chances. Now, you know, whether it's Milton or whether it's Hooker at quarterback, accuracy has been a problem, especially with the deep ball with Tennessee. But I think they got to try to go over the top of the Florida defense. The other thing for Tennessee, and Paul, you saw this up close and personal, is they've got to manage things with the run game of Florida. The way Florida was running the ball in the second half against Alabama, the way that offensive line was playing, and all three running backs were playing, if they were gashing Alabama like that, if they were running the ball against Alabama like that, what's going to happen against this Tennessee front that has struggled at times and doesn't have the depth at linebacker? So they've got to hold up on the defensive front, and they've got to take chances going over the top with their speedy wide receivers.
We're talking to Joe Tessitore on the call tomorrow night. Tennessee takes on Florida. Joe, if I could change games for a second,
sure.
Only because we saw you 2 weeks ago in Fayetteville, and it's such a critical game tomorrow afternoon in Arlington. You know all these teams so well, but you know, just this Arkansas team that I know you were impressed with watching the game. What are your thoughts on this team coming out of that Texas game, getting ready for Texas A&M?
Well, my thought is that they have a great sense of who they are, and they have a clear, defined identity with two coordinators who are doing a superb job, both defensively and offensively. But offensively, this is a team that Sam Pittman has put together that understands they want to run the ball, they want to be physical, and I think in terms of a stylistic matchup, we are in store for a very competitive football game there. I think that's a great game, Paul. Now, listen, I think A&M, when you look at the depth and the recruitable talent that they've been amassing in recent years, obviously you got the quarterback injury, but the recruitable talent has now created a depth where this is a championship-level team. But the way Arkansas is built and the style of play of Arkansas, I think it's a one-possession game that a turnover defines in the fourth quarter.
Okay, final game, and I never thought I would be asking you about this game, Joe, but the University of Missouri comes into Boston tomorrow. It's clearly a game that Eli Drinkwitz does not want to play. I don't know why. I would love to be in Boston on a gorgeous late September day. It's hard to find a prettier place weather-wise or scenic-wise, but you know a little bit about this BC program. What should we expect?
Just a little bit, with full disclosure, as you're alluding to, my son plays for Coach Jeff Hadley. So, and obviously I'm an alumnus, and it isn't often that I get to break down my conference, the SEC, playing against my school and my son, but I will tell you what you need to know in this matchup. And it's funny, Paul, because I was watching your show live the other day when you were interviewing Connor Bazelak, and you were asking him about the BC players, and then you played the clip of Eli, who was somewhat dismissive, I think would be a euphemism to use, in describing the matchup and their desire to maybe not play a game in New England. The one thing I would tell you, there's not a lot of frequency of Boston College playing SEC teams. The one thing I would tell you is it is not your father's Boston College team. Boston College teams of the past, going all the way back to the Flutie era, right through the Tom Coughlin era, the Matt Ryan era, were based on big NFL-style offensive linemen, neck roll run-stopping linebackers, and tight ends with pro pocket presence-type quarterbacks. This BC team with Coach Jeff Hafley, who remember was the outstanding defensive coordinator at Ohio State just 2 years ago, has recruited speed from all over the country. So that comment that was made the other day of, I don't know that we're going to be trying to get a bunch of guys out of the great state of Massachusetts. Just be careful with how you define BC, because you are going to see guys on the perimeter with an All-American wide receiver in Zay Flowers, with a top 30 recruit in the country in Jalen Gillett wide receiver, who originally started his career at Ohio State, then went over to play for Halfley, with a former five-star safety from Florida State in Lars Woodby, Jaden Lars Woodby, where you have speed from Florida and Georgia and Ohio, who have made a decision to go play for a head coach who has developed a lot of NFL talent. So it's not the BC you're used to seeing. It's a BC team that's very comfortable throwing the ball, getting out with speed on the perimeter. I think it's going to be a very different look. I think it's a great matchup, by the way. I think it's two teams that are very evenly matched. I'm fascinated to see what happens here up in Chestnut Hill.
Well, I'll tell you what. Before you go, I think I remember this correctly, but as a, I wouldn't say even a young sports writer, but as a sports writer in my career, I covered back-to-back games between Alabama and BC. The first one,
yes,
I think for some reason, was in Foxborough. The second
it
one
was
at Legion Field, opened the season, and Boston College won both games.
They did. They won both games, and one of my favorite newspaper cartoons of all time, I don't know if you recall this, Paul, was a cartoon after that Jack Bicknell, younger Doug Flutie team beat Alabama, where there was a cartoon of a houndstooth-clad fans crying, and one of them says to the other, "What's the matter?" And he said, "We lost to Boston College. They just play football for fun up there."
I think one game was at the end of the year. The other one started the season. Of course, Flutie was involved. And it was a shocker. The rematch, I'm still surprised by the reaction in Legion Field that Saturday night. It was the opening game of the year. Joe, what a pleasure. We'll continue to follow the Boston College schedule, and I have a feeling we'll see you very soon on this program. Great to have you on.
Okay, thank you. Have a great weekend up there, Paul.
The one and only Joe Tessitore, live from Gainesville. We're here in Columbia. Frank Beamer's son, Frank might even show up, we hear. Shane Beamer will be here in about 45 minutes. Dawn Staley, a couple of pretty well-known coaches on this campus, and more of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we welcome you back. Guests will continue to roll in here. Roman Harper coming up shortly. We just talked to Tim Tebow. Shane Beamer about 35 minutes away. Look forward to visiting with him. Dawn Staley will be with us on set. We are at the Horseshoe on the campus of the University of South Carolina. And Will is up next in Columbia, South Carolina. Hello, Will.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing?
Doing great, Will. Thank you.
Paul, you know, I know there's not really such thing as a must-win game in year one as a new coach in the SEC, but do you think this is a must-win game for Shane Beamer and the Gamecocks against Kentucky this Saturday if they want to get to a bowl game this year?
Well, I mean, we were doing the math earlier. I think right now there's two wins. There's Troy. That would be three. Vandy, I'm going to say, is four.
How about your Tennessee Volunteers?
Yeah, well, I'm getting to Tennessee. Vandy would be four. So, obviously, you have to beat Tennessee. And I think you will. And Tennessee's in 2 weeks, Vanderbilt. So right now, you got Tennessee and Vanderbilt, but where else do you, and
that
Troy,
you
that's three. That'll only get you to five. So where else are you going to get a win is my question. Is it Kentucky? Is it Auburn? We don't know enough about Auburn.
Maybe
right
Auburn.
Now. Auburn.
I'd like to think it.
Auburn, that, you know, the interesting thing about the Auburn game, that's a week before the Alabama game, and, you know, they'll have already played LSU and Georgia.
Absolutely.
I mean, they could be spiraling out of control. I'm not saying they will. I'm just saying that those are your opportunities. I don't think this is as critical yet, because I think there are a couple of opportunities down the road. I mean, you know, listen, it would be nice, and I think Kentucky's a tough team to beat, though.
Oh, I agree. I think they're very talented. I just think it would be huge if Beamer could. I mean, I think you win this game, you get to 3-1. I think you could, you know, possibly see a 6-1 start heading into the last five games of your season if you win this game.
Well, what you get out of that is the obvious. I mean, you get all the attention, you get momentum, you get adrenaline, and you get recruits who are saying to themselves, you know what, I think I want to be there, versus sputtering the beginning of the season. No, there's no getting around it. But I would not go as far as to say that it's a must win, because I thought, like 2 weeks ago, I thought Tennessee had to beat Pittsburgh to be in the similar situation, and they let that game get away. But I think as we get down the season, Tennessee and Auburn are more I think urgent, because I frankly think Kentucky is better than both those teams.
Oh, I agree with that. I think Kentucky's very talented.
Good call, thank you, Will. Appreciate it very much. Let's check out Connor, who is also in South Carolina. Hello, Connor.
What's going on, Paul? How you doing down there?
I am doing great. I'm not sure I've ever been in South Carolina on a prettier day.
Yeah, I'd happen to agree with you, Paul. I mean, right here in South Carolina, we're just happy that football and fall weather is back. I'll tell you that. Before I get to my question, I just want to quickly say I appreciated hearing Tim Tebow. Have a whole lot of respect for him. I think that as a Gamecock fan, I know he did do well against us, but you know, got a lot of respect for him. My question, Paul, is kind of going back to what Will said. What would you think would be the biggest key for the Gamecocks, you know, to, you know, bounce back from that loss against Georgia last week and try to get this thing back on track?
I think what Tim said is just get some consistency and continuity and be able to protect the quarterback, because I just don't know. I think the defense has shown enough signs of progress. I mean, I thought there were a couple of good things to take away. Even offensively, I mean, the Georgia game, I think, was a little bit misleading from a score standpoint. I'm not making excuses, but I saw a few things that I really did like. Hey, thank you for the call. Chase is up next in Georgia. Hello, Chase.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Chase, everything's great. Good afternoon.
Let me tell you something, Paul. I'm sitting here, and I'm waiting to talk to you. And I was originally going to ask you how much longer the Bama dynasty rolls on and what team you think would overthrow them. But after hearing Tim Tebow get on here and Joe, and they're drooling all over Florida, I want to tell you this instead. On October the 30th at 3:30, this is what you're going to hear. That is the sound of the Florida Gators' hopes and dreams getting flushed by the University of Georgia. Go Dogs.
Frank is up next in Kentucky. Hey, Frank, good afternoon.
Hello, Paul.
Hi there. Good afternoon to you.
Paul, I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
When you mentioned Kaywood Ledford yesterday about the old-time announcers, he's a legend up here in Kentucky. And I don't know if you're aware, but the last game he did was the Duke-Kentucky game when Christian Laettner hit that shot. You aware of that?
You know, I was, only because, and I'll just give you a little context, Frank. When I was a student at the University of Tennessee, I got a chance to meet him, and I would listen to his games. I think it was on the station in Louisville that you could pick up, WHAS, I think it was. And I would say, from a basketball standpoint, I'm not sure I've ever heard a better broadcaster than Kaywood.
Yeah, he was very good. I ran into Vern Lundquist. I live in Louisville. I ran into Vern Lundquist a few years ago. It was derby time. And I asked him about that game, and he said that was one of the best three or four games he ever called. And I told him that, no offense against you announcers, but when Kaywood was calling games, if Kentucky was on TV, football or basketball, we would turn the TV down and
right.
turn up the radio and
listen to Kaywood.
You still there, Frank? I don't know. I heard a short here in my system, so we may have lost you. But I totally agree. And, you know, in talking to Kenny Chesney last night about these great broadcasters, he's the executive producer of this show on Sunday night. I think you don't want to rank because every broadcaster means something different. But I would say in terms of what Kaywood meant to the Kentucky people, and part of the reason I'm saying this is there was not a lot of television back then. Now if you're Kentucky is on TV every night. They weren't back then. So it didn't matter whether you were in Eastern Kentucky, in the coal mine areas, from Harlan to Louisville to Frankfort to Lexington to Owensboro. I mean, everybody knew Kaywood Ledford and everyone listened to him. And he was so descriptive, and he had such a rich baritone voice. So, no, I totally agree. I'm so thankful that you brought him up, because a lot of times we just move past guys. And what an amazing end to his career as a UK announcer, calling one of the most memorable moments. Not positively, but memorable nevertheless. We are live here in Columbia. I mentioned Coach Beamer will join us in about 30 minutes when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
We are back live in Columbia, and our gridiron guest is brought to you by Johnsonville. And our gridiron guest is Roman Harper. You get something special for being the gridiron guest?
Yeah, I guess we are here in South Carolina where it's Parents Weekend. Over the weekend, yeah, they're shouting out Panthers.
Oh, is this Parents Weekend?
It is Parents Weekend. See, Paul, I'm trying to teach you something. Also, I don't think everybody else realizes this, but it seems like...
Hold on 1 second, Roman, because I don't think that anybody can hear you. Any better?
What's going on, guys?
Okay, Roman, I'm speaking to my... I'm only speaking to you since we can't hear you, but don't take it personal that they haven't turned your mic on yet. is there anything we can do about this, or... Okay, I'll tell you what, this is what's called in television just stalling for time. We're all watching. Any better? Anybody want to? Can we hear you?
My favorite color.
We still can't hear him. I'll tell you what we'll do. Why don't we take a call here while Roman's mic is being a. Guys, can you lead me to a call here, guys? Jimmy the Cop is up next. You get preempted by Jimmy the Cop. We'll get back to Roman in a second. Hey, Jimmy.
How you doing, Paul? I'm busy trying to push you up north to make a name up there for you with my family, you know?
Jimmy, I need some help.
Know what they're missing down here with Southeast Conference football.
I appreciate that very much.
I have my younger brother now when he answers the phone. He goes, "We got Jimmy the Cop on line two. What do you got for Paul today?"
Well, Jimmy, I appreciate that. We're trying to grow this show in Brooklyn, in Queens, on Staten Island, anywhere we can go.
There we go.
There might be a little language problem, a little linguistic problem.
Staten Island's the one that really okay, Jimmy, I'm going to put you back on hold. We'll get to you in a second because Roman, I don't want to keep Roman. Roman, I was talking to, we were killing time while we were getting your microphone. So we can now hear you. So
you can hear me now.
You mentioned it was Parents Weekend.
It is.
And have you been?
I've been scavenging the campus a little bit, just kind of rumbling around. I like to be a man of the people, Paul. And so another unique thing about this campus is that it seems like every building has college at the end of it. So we're in Harper College. We also see Elliott College. So every building has college at the end.
Let me say this. I don't know the exact date, but this university has been here for a long time. I was – what's that? 1801. That's a long time.
That's a long time. That's way before both of us, Paul.
What's interesting is I was asking somebody here earlier. I said, "No, this is an old building." He said, "Well, yeah." He said, there was a lot of damage done during the Civil War." I'm like, "This place is old." 1801. The country didn't start till just a couple of years before that.
Yeah, Paul. I'm not a great history buff, so I just know it was the Civil War and. The U.S. won.
Yeah.
And I'll leave that.
South Carolina figured into the Civil War started in South Carolina. Fort Sumter, right?
Something like that.
I'm leaning heavily on you history buffs.
I was like, I don't know.
It did.
You gotta teach me, Paul.
It did. So obviously they South Carolina was dispatched quickly. Which fans here are hoping will not be the case tomorrow night.
Yeah, it's going to it's a tough field battle, a tough uphill battle for South Carolina. I think Luke Doty's going to give them a little something different offensively, allow them to be able to run the ball. And we all know Kentucky plays a conservative defense. They try and keep everything in front of them. And they're also offensively, they're playing a lot more aggressively. So how does South Carolina kind of really combat that? How do they stay aggressive defensively? They have to force turnovers if they're going to have a chance. And this crowd has to really get involved and really try and be a difference maker. There you go. There it is.
Now, if this crowd behind us is there tomorrow night, I think South Carolina has a chance. The only thing that can The thing that concerns me about this crowd is I don't think they're going to make it to the game. They're already drinking so heavily.
Well, if you just take a walk around here, Paul, they got events and they got things going on. I mean, it's a reason to celebrate on this campus right now. Everybody's proud of what they're doing. The parents are in town. They're proud of their children being out here. And everybody – it is a Friday, too, so nobody's in class. Nobody's worried about those things, Paul. They're just worried about the game. They're happy we're here.
I worry, though, and not to get off the subject, but on Parents Weekend, how much time do you have to spend with your parents?
Before you say, all right, that's cool, that's a long enough. Yeah, I didn't like to hang out with my parents in college either, so I don't know. It's a great question.
Did they wait for you after the game?
My parents would wait for me. We had a little section, some RVs. My mom was always around there, would hanging out with everybody else. And it just depends on whose campus is where. You know, Alabama, it's a nice little walk afterwards, but my roommate and I, we would actually cheat that because we would park close to the stadium the night before in his car, and then I would bring my car, pick him up, and then we'd ride to the hotel. So we could just take his car right after the game. No traffic.
I wouldn't think so. Talking to Roman Harper. Roman, I'll ask you the same question I asked Tebow earlier. I said, Tim, give fans hope here. You mentioned the crowd. Anything other than the crowd can help this program here?
Well, yeah. Well, help the program as a whole or just talking about tomorrow? As a whole, I think you got the right coach in place. Shane right. Beamer, somebody that never seems to lose a podium or anytime he gets in front of the camera, it just is a net positive for South Carolina, the direction that they're going. He believes in the things that he's saying. The players are playing a lot harder. The university seems to be having his back and everything that you need to be successful as a head coach in college football. So it's heading in the right direction. You know you got the captain of the ship.
Right.
That is correct. Now you just got to get the right players and continue to build around it. Right now they got some seniors and some older guys making plays, but they have to get more young talent into this program and then see where they're at in a year or two.
What does this program need right now. In terms, you know, some of the folks here have been saying we need a better offensive line, we need more this, we need more that. If you had to dial up the ingredients to make this program relevant again, with all due respect, what would it be?
I would say I wouldn't try and focus on so much as just a position, Paul. I would say you need more athletes, like upstanding athletes, really good guys that we'll figure out where they play once they get here.
Just get the athletes.
Yeah, we got to get guys out here that are fast, that can run and jump and tackle people and really want to play football at a high level. Those are the guys that you need on this campus, because at the end of the day, you just get the best athletes, and then we'll figure out where they best belong, whether it's offense, defense, whatever position that is. But they have to upgrade the talent level as a whole for this program.
And yeah, you know, it's always a mystery about why programs back up, because, you know, Steve Spurrier here,
yes,
had this program in the top 10 three consecutive years. They were really getting very close to playoff consideration, and then his last year things went the wrong way, and it really has not been the same since.
It's all about who you have there, and can that coach sit in that young man or that young woman's room and with their parents and say, hey, you belong in this team, you can get us here, and you can help, you know, develop this program? And how are you recruiting and getting those kids to show up on your campus? What's your real separator? Because if it's not wins and losses, which is the main factor why kids show up on campus, because young men and women like to compete against the other best of the best. So if you don't have enough talent around, sometimes if you build it, they will come.
Talking to Roman Harper here, Shane Beamer will join us in a few minutes here. Roman, let me flip around the SEC this weekend, because there's some really interesting
matchups.
I want to go to LSU and Mississippi State for a second, because we talked to Chris Budden a minute ago, and she told us that right now there's an expectation that Derek Stingley Jr. may not play in this game, that he's hurt. Who knows? We really weren't sure what exactly the problem is, but I mean, it's a pretty obvious question without him. You know, what happens to that defense, because he's only the best player on the defense.
Yes, he's really, really good. Well, Eli Ricks is going to have something to say with that too, especially with the way Derek Stingley's been playing. It's been somewhat inconsistent,
right,
especially after the freshman year that he had. You thought he would just dominate college football the next 2 years until he's draft eligible. Well, that has not been the case. Not only that, but the defense of LSU has not looked good as a whole. So is it injury-related? Is it that, hey,
we don't know,
I might take an opt-out year when they're not even offering it and say, I've played and done as much as I can to showcase my talents. Now I'm just trying to stay safe and healthy so now I can go on to the next level. It didn't hurt Jamar Chase. It did not hurt other players. It didn't hurt a player like Michael Parsons,
right,
of Penn State. So if you have good tape already out there and available, has the precedent been set now where I've done enough, I can step away, especially on a bad team? If you're not winning championships, how are you continue to get the guys to stay involved and stay locked in enough to say, hey, you're still giving enough to this program and your teammates that you want to stay here and be a part of it? I think that's all about culture. You have to have the right culture to make that happen.
We're seeing – I don't want to over-dramatize the signals coming out of Baton Rouge, but they're not good.
No, it's where there's smoke, there's fire, Paul. We've been talking about that for a few weeks now.
Yeah.
And the thing that's scary to me about LSU is I don't know who they are as a personality yet. What is the personality of that team? They throw the ball extremely, for me, I think they threw it extremely too many times. And then they don't run the ball enough. LSU's always been a tough, physical team. Eddie O probably talks about that. But if you're not running the ball, who are you? And, you know, this game against Mississippi State, it's going to be 80 passes thrown between both of these teams. And I don't know who's going to throw it more. Is it LSU or Mississippi State? Because Mississippi State has a really good defense that doesn't allow you to be really successful in the pass game. A
couple of other quick hits. The big game of the day is in Arlington, A&M and Arkansas. And I mean, this game has so much meaning, and I still don't really feel like we know a whole lot about anyone.
Well, yeah, that's because you've seen what Arkansas has done. The only question mark you had against Arkansas was, could they beat Texas? And
right,
they dominated Texas in the fashion where now we're looking at Arkansas thinking they may be a little bit better than we first anticipated. And now we see Texas A&M struggle the way that they have. They've not really put a complete game together, especially offensively versus defense, that says that maybe they are what we also thought they are. So you got a team playing below what we anticipated. We got a team playing above where they anticipated. With this big matchup, originally you thought Texas A&M had the advantage. And now you're looking at it and you're like, I don't think so. A team that's playing not as good as where we thought they were versus a team that's playing better than everybody expected. It's going to be a great game. I know it's going to be some great defense played. That is the one thing I do know is going to be guaranteed.
Let me circle back before you go back to here. We talked about South Carolina, what they need to do, but we haven't talked about Kentucky yet. And to me, they're just sitting around being ignored. I lean on guys like you to tell me what's going on. They seem like a pretty good football team.
They're doing things the right way. All right, offensively, they look a little bit differently. They can actually throw the ball this year, and they can attack you downfield. Wandell Robinson and some other guys and receivers. And Chris Rodriguez is still there. He and Kavassier Smoke has a good 1-2 punch in the run game. I like that they won three different games in three different ways. The first game, they threw the ball all over the ballpark. The second game, they ran the ball with Chris Rodriguez. And the third game, they struggled offensively, but defensively, they scored a touchdown late to kind of put them over the edge. So I like a team that can win in multiple facets, and that is what Kentucky's continue to do. I like that they're kind of just flying under the radar. They'll still be able to surprise some teams, and they still have to beat Florida before I get in willing to say that they've arrived.
Yeah, and that game is – I think that game's next week.
I think it is next week, Paul. We're going to see. I mean,
games all run together.
They do. That's what happens.
I want to thank you for coming by again. I know you're busy.
It is next week.
Next week. That's what.
And they got LSU, which you look at it, you feel like they would have an advantage over LSU right now, the way that they're playing, and it's at home. They got Florida at home. Everything's right there in front of Kentucky if they're really going to be that for real team.
Roman Harper on the campus of the University of South Carolina for Parents Weekend. Roman, I know you got to go to a mixer with your adopted family over there.
I do. I am. You know, he's a big Carolina Panthers fan and all the Alabama alumni. And also,
you remember this guy playing a couple of Super Bowls?
Hey, man, it kind of happened. And also the young man that asked me my favorite color, I would tell them that it's whatever I'm wearing that day. So today it's blue, a little bit of brown, you know, that's my thing.
I mean, I go to the Goodwill for my Friday outfits, and you look like you just came out of, some Fifth Avenue boutique.
I'm trying to get sponsored, Paul. I'm trying to get sponsored out here.
I mean, your shoe game is on point.
I mean, Roman's still looking for that lost NIL money. Roman Harper joining us here at South Carolina. Shane Beamer coming up shortly.
You're listening to the Paul Finebaum Show podcast.
We've had a great show already. Tim Tebow was by earlier, and a huge crowd here in Columbia. It's a fantastic atmosphere on just a crystalline early autumn day. Jimmy the Cop was on hold. Jimmy, thanks for holding on.
Hello, Paul.
Yeah, you're back.
Yeah, thanks for showing me respect for bringing me back. That's quite nice of you.
I'm afraid of you. You're an ex-cop.
I can't wait to tell my family in New York. I'm going to embellish it a little bit. And I'm going to say the first time in the history of the show that he brought a phone caller back. You don't mind if I do that, do you?
No, please. Tell them all.
Oh, yeah. Now, to your point of a neutral site, that game in that should be played at Fayetteville. That would be much better. I don't like this neutral site, you know.
No, I agree. I absolutely hate these neutral site games. And I mean, we do this every weekend. We're on, and you know, a campus like this on a gorgeous afternoon is
exactly.
We did a show once from Jerry's World, and it's like doing a show in a Walmart parking lot. And I don't mean that as a shot at Walmart, but you just sit literally in a concrete parking lot, and there's a $10 billion stadium behind you. There's no atmosphere.
That's my exact sentiment, and Arkansas is ready. It would be good TV to have a game in Fayetteville with their rising up there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. One other thing, as far as in Miami, things they're going the long knives are out for Manny Diaz.
Yeah, Manny's in trouble, and you know, I hate to see it because I thought he would work there, but. He's teetering close to being on the unemployment line if he's not careful.
Yeah, he is. And they had the 91 championship team back at halftime for the Michigan State game, so that didn't help with the fans remembering the good old days.
No, that's I'll never forget. I was at – I can't remember who they were playing. I was at Tennessee one night. They were honoring Peyton Manning, and they lost to somebody they weren't supposed to lose to. I mean, those things are just never good.
No. All right, Paul.
Hey,
have
Jimmy.
A good weekend.
You have a great weekend. Thank you so much. Jimmy the Cop from Miami. Gigi is up next. How are you, Gigi? Gigi, are you there?
Here.
Well, good. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm a big time fan of you. So my question is, I'm an Aggie.
Oh, great.
I have a tough road playing Alabama every year. And until they decide to extend the playoffs, I wanted to know, what are your chances if we go same record, undefeated if we lose to Alabama and the rest of the games we go undefeated, what are our chances of getting into the playoffs?
Yeah, I think it depends, Gigi, on where the loss would fall. Last year the Alabama game was on the road, even though it was 28 points, so I think it helped the cause just a little bit more. I think it would be tougher losing at home to Alabama. And another thing that matters is, if you lose to Alabama, the odds of getting to the SEC championship game are pretty slim. And the one thing that I think is a problem this year for A&M is that Georgia, very likely, short of losing to Florida, it may get to the playoffs as well. So I think the Aggies are going to have to beat Alabama this year. Hey, thank you for the call. Really do appreciate it. So nice of you to call. We were going to take a break, obviously, because it's at the end of the hour. When we come back, we are expecting to talk to the head coach of the University of South Carolina.